This is the KSEL Field and Farm Report. As we do on Friday mornings, we have our segment with Roosevelt County Agent Patrick Kircher. We're talking about agricultural issues of the day. Good day, sir.
Hello, sir.
I do realize we're recording this one a little bit earlier in the week. I know we have rain in the forecast. Is everybody going to come after me like the villagers outside of Frankenstein's castle if I say, hey, we got a chance of rain Friday?
Well, they won't be throwing rocks just at you if it doesn't come through. There are so many people. I was in a meeting earlier today, and folks were already drawing out I'm going to wash my car and leave my windows down and any of those other proverbial wives' tales that could help get some rain, because, boy, we need it. My goodness.
Bet. And, well, and the whole thing is, and I can't figure it out this week because I often talk to our commodities folks, the wheat, the hard red winter wheat, took a nosedive this week because somebody somewhere thinks that the rains that they begin through Kansas are going to save the crop.
You know, they're always further behind than us, so I haven't really been keeping up to know where we're at in the progression or maturity of the wheat. But, you know, from everything I'd heard, man, they were so far behind early on. I guess I'd be a little hard-pressed to believe that it would make that big a turnaround. But it might. I mean, timing-wise, it may be right on the cusp of where it would, you know, turn it back. But I know for us, there's a very little really young wheat out there that got planted really late that might still have a chance to make a little something if it got, but the majority of it, we're past any help there.
Northern Plains, there's spring wheat. They can't get that put in because of snow. The Midwest corn crop, we're usually at the point where we're talking about corn plantings and start getting regular reports. It's all under snow in a lot of the upper Midwest.
Oh, yeah. No, I was actually talking to my mom. You know, I'm originally from Missouri, and guys up there have already, the ones that got corn planted, it got froze out and never came up because ground was too cold. And so now they're having to regroup, and they're all getting ready for beans and skipping corn because the ground just won't cooperate.
Let's get on to a couple of agricultural issues today. I thought this one was interesting. We often talk about the folks that are, well, I think they have good intentions. They just don't have good information. Those are the people that are opposed to production agriculture, that because they know how things should be done better. You sent me a report that at first I thought it might have been an article from The Onion because it just seemed really unlikely, having to do with some research involving pigs.
Yeah, it was an interesting study. They were trying to work with this whole push towards lack of antibiotics. They had started a trial, and they had taken some healthy pigs and introduced them to the PRRS virus, which has been a really big one in the last 15 years in the hog industry. And they were trying to work these pigs through and figure out some management schemes. And anyway, these poor little pigs, the ones that got no treatment, were just getting so sick and had some mortality on that bunch that the researchers actually stopped the trial to medicate the little pigs so that they didn't suffer, because they were not going to live without the use of antibiotics exposed to this virus.
So antibiotics were able to save the day and prove that antibiotics are not necessarily a bad thing.
Exactly.
When it's selectively applied.
Yes.
But there's a thought that's out there among some folks in the general public, and it's certainly advocated by those that, again, are oppositional toward production agriculture, that farmers, every chance that they get to medicate an animal, they take it. And that's just not simply the case.
Oh, exactly. No, I mean, this, when used in a therapeutic fashion for what it was intended, to preserve the health, well-being, and welfare of an animal, it's 100% necessary. And like I say, I applaud the researcher for doing the right thing for the welfare of those animals, but it just typifies that it's a tool in the toolbox that has to be used and used effectively and correctly.
And then one other one here, Congress throwing out some acronyms, surprise, surprise. The Farms Act, it was one of them, is actually co-sponsored by Senator Tom Udall from New Mexico, but the message behind it, and I haven't really looked into the all the figures and everything else that's involved with the legislation because, again, this stuff is hundreds and hundreds of pages long, but trying to find ways to get young people involved in agriculture, trying to make it to where loans are either interest-free or very low interest and things like that. Well, we talked about 5 years ago that the aging farming population was reaching critical mass. I don't think things are improving right now.
No, and I was really surprised in reading that article. Again, New Mexico, top of the list. We do so many things so well or so poorly. We are actually the number two oldest state of farmers in the U.S., which is really a pretty scary fact. And so I applaud what they're trying to do in trying to make it easier for young people to get into production ag, because the cost, you know, if you're crazy enough to want to tackle all of the other issues that face farmers, the financial one is a huge burden. So I really do applaud them for trying to do something to make it easier or at least more effective for folks to get into farming.
Well, there we go. That's this week's segment with Roosevelt County Agent Patrick Kircher. You can always get hold of Patrick at his fine crew at the Extension Office at 356-4417. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
This is the KSEL Field and Farm Report. As we do Friday mornings each week, we check in with Roosevelt County Agent Patrick Kircher, talk about agricultural issues of the day. Good day, sir.
Hello, sir.
Let's go ahead. First of all, we got a few items we need to get into this morning. But first, interestingly enough, you have some local programs that are coming up here for people in our region here involved in agriculture. And what do you got coming up?
Well, I just was going to announce next Thursday, March 21st at 8 o'clock at the Curry County Fairgrounds. We've had the opportunity to acquire the Let's Talk Breakfast program. The Beyond the Roundtable program, the Corona Research Center has been doing for quite a while, kind of through the middle part of the state. They're reaching out, and they've moved it into a breakfast program. So there'll be a panel of experts there. So they'll feed you a free breakfast, and then you have an opportunity to have a roundtable discussion with experts in the beef industry on really whatever topics of interest are interested and vital to you at this time.
Right. So that one's going to be coming up, and you have another program as well.
Yes. On March 28th, there's a Produce Safety Alliance training at the Curry County Extension Office. For anybody interested in the Food Modernization Safety Act and getting compliant with that, this is a training that will provide some of those tools to do that. If you got any questions about it or curious, give us a call at the office and we can help walk you through that.
Yesterday across eastern New Mexico, we saw winds topping out in some places over 70 miles an hour. Adverse impacts on agriculture?
Well, I mean, it was certainly hard on livestock and crops, but the saving grace in the whole thing, you know, with getting that little moisture we got the night before, I was amazed at how it held things down really well. It wasn't until late in the day that things really kind of started walking and moving, and even then, nothing like it could have done had we been dry and we got those winds on top of it. So certainly hard on people and livestock alike and crops, but like I say, I think we'll scoot through that one. Fairly unscathed.
Farming a hard enough living to, let alone Mother Nature bucket against you.
Yeah.
Some other things we have going on and some topics you have brought up for this week. And one of them deals directly and goes back to what we had talked about. Your meat on the hoof versus your lab-grown meat. You know, we talked about the dairy side of things, of how you've got all these various kinds of quote-unquote milk that are out there that aren't from a cow. You can start adding a few other things to that argument as well.
Yeah, no, now the fight has moved to the protein arena, and the fight is now as to whether lab-grown proteins can be called meats, and then if so, can you call them by their animal counterparts, you know, so if you have a ground-up link of ground meat that, you know, if it was from a pig, we'd call sausage, but can you call it sausage if it was grown in the lab? So it's kind of interesting, the polling they've done as to where people stand and how it's all going to fall out. But I think you brought up a valid point. I don't think it was addressed long enough ago and the precedent was allowed to roll for so long that these, you know, quote-unquote offshoot scenarios wouldn't ever gain enough market share to ever really matter. Well, now we all know the protein juices, the plant juices are that, you know, quote milks, you know, they've acquired that name. I mean, people know them by that name. And even as they're trying hard to pull that back, I don't know if you can get the horse back in the barn.
Right. Almond milk sounds great. Almond juice doesn't so much carry the same positive connotation.
But sure.
Again, that is something that the beef industry, I know, has been trying to address. So let's see. And then also, we're also aiming for EPA opening the gate here a little bit on genetically engineered salmon.
Yeah, I just found it interesting. I mean, this deal's been cooking for a long time. These guys came up with this technology 20 years ago. And they've been sitting on this, and, you know, I guess all the studies have been done now, and they proven that there's nothing wrong with the fish. It's totally normal. There's nothing wrong with the people that consume it. There's nothing wrong with the meat. Excuse me. It's, you know, they're still working through the process. And I guess the part that intrigued me was the folks that came up with this have had a deep enough pocket to sit on this for this long, waiting for this thing to come around.
Well, waiting on the approval on that. All right, that's the segment for this week. Clearly, if there's anything you got to get a hold of with the Extension Office, anything we've talked about today, some of the topics there, or any other general information from the Extension Office, you can get a hold of Patrick and his fine crew at 356-4417. Thank you.
Thank you.